This podcast contains strong language and mature content. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Detained, a criminal justice podcast that seeks to examine real experiences from every perspective. I'm your host, Arish Rivers.
A little bit about you. So you and I met San Jose State.
Oh, yes. I got the story, too. I know exactly when we met. It was hilarious.
Oh, yeah, but we'll stay on task. We'll stay on task. So tell us a little bit about how you grew up and, you know, what side of town did you grow up on? What was childhood looking like for you?
So I was born in Merced, California. And then my dad got a job out here in the Bay Area. So we moved to Antioch, and that was back in 94.
Let me interrupt you for a quick second. I want everybody to hear that Merced is not the Bay Area.
Oh, no. Central Valley.
Everybody. You have some people who are like, yeah, it's kind of Bay Area. I live in Merced. I live in Fresno. No, that's not the Bay Area.
No.
Okay. God, no. Sorry for interrupting, but let's
God, no. They know better. Forward. They know who they are.
Yeah, right. They know who you are. All right. So your dad got a job out here in the Bay Area, and you moved out to Antioch.
Yeah, we moved out to Antioch, and I was there ever since, you know, all the way through high school. And Antioch was at the time was like suburbia. Man, you didn't see any black people, to be honest. I think I was like one of two black kids in my whole class throughout the whole, and I didn't even notice until you get older and then, you know, people are saying bullshit and you're like, oh crap. Like,
You look at Antioch and you're just like, oh, this is a black neighborhood.
Yeah, Antioch. Yeah. Antioch now is like, 180.
There's that line.
Exactly.
Right, there's that road. I think it's Don Julio. I think it is.
Yeah.
Like one side is the Deer Valley side, and that's old Antioch. And then the other side is,
I would say, like James Donlan.
James
like,
Donlan. Yeah, that's the
divide. If you want to go a little further up, you can. But
that's the road I'm thinking
about. Yeah, that was all the way down Lone Tree. Man, it is not what it was. And then that was weird. I would say around high school, and it's kind of reflective of the whole, you know, housing thing and the dot-com boom and
gentrification,
all that stuff. So people were getting kicked out of like Oakland and Richmond and Hayward, and they're actually moving because they were getting these loans for pretty, pretty cheap. And they're getting these houses and, you know, they're moving out here. So I used to go to some of my friends' houses and they're black, and I looked at their houses and they were like these fat ass houses. I was like, what did your parents do? Like, damn. And then, like, you know, 2-3 years later, all these houses, they start foreclosing and stuff. And then, you know, now you got Antioch. Yeah. That's the story of Antioch. You got Antioch. You know?
So for everybody listening, So my experience with Antioch, because I'm not from the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Los Angeles, and I came out to the Bay Area because I was following a girl. And when I got to Antioch, my impression was like, okay, I see the old bones here, but this is a hood. And that was my first impression. And for like the first year of my experience with Antioch, I had no idea there was that Deer Valley side until we went to Kinder's. And I was like, well, look at this side of town. This is kind of nice. But there was a very definitive line of the demographic makeup. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you get your nice Kinder's, you go shopping at the nice grocery area, at the nice shopping center. Mm-hmm. You go back over the little hill by the mines. And then it's like, all right, now we're back in Antioch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Antioch is hood. Even that area right now is kind of like all mixed together. It still looks like new, mm-hmm. but then it's just, you know, it's just a little more hood. You know you're there. You know you're in Antioch because you're in Antioch.
And, you know, so Antioch, living in Antioch was the first time I'd ever had something happen to my car. You know, I could, in Los Angeles, drive around. I could park in Skid Row. I could park in Hollywood. Car be fine.
Wow.
You know, I woke up one day and the girl I was dating was like, hey, did you park the car anywhere else? And I go, no, what are you talking about? She goes, well, the car's not in the driveway. And I remember, like, I had an important test that day and everything. I just went in the driveway, I'm like in my chonies, you know, my arms on my hip, and I'm just like, huh, did you look at that? The car got stolen. And then somebody else broke into my other car, and it took me like 4 months to realize anybody had broken into my car because it was like an old one. It was all crappy. And the girl I was dating was like, hey, your radio is gone. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Like, damn, Antioch was so cruel.
broke into my car.
God damn.
Took my radio, ignored the $100 worth of gold Sacagawea coins sitting there, but just took the radio. So
that's Antioch. Yeah.
That's Antioch.
Yeah, well, yeah, my mom's, her house got burglarized. Man, I was at San Jose State at that point. I get a call and she said someone broke in. They even went into the in the fridge and they drank the Kool-Aid. I was like,
come on, man.
I was like, at least leave the Kool-Aid. That's all we had. Yeah. That's all we got.
Leave the fridge alone.
They took like our, my old school like N64, Super Nintendo, and this stuff, like, you know.
Oh, that's memories. That's, yeah, that's GoldenEye. They don't, that's, they don't Mario have that Kart stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Mario Kart for sure.
Oh man, Wave
Super,
Race? What's
Super
up?
Smash Bros, you know? All that shit.
Oh my God. All right, so quick pause while I swallow down the whiskey. Right. Now, what is it? What is the organization that you're working with?
I work for Fresh Lifelines for Youth, also known as FLY. It's an organization that's been around since 2000. Our founder started it when she was coming out of law school. She wanted to support some young men who was in juvenile hall. That was in the maximum security unit. She pretty much did her internship there and she worked with them and she did like legal education courses and workshops. And she pretty much asked them a few questions like, what can I do to help youth that might be facing the same punishments as you in your own community? And they answered back saying like, I need access to positive adult role models. We would need access to giving back to the community. We would definitely love this legal education stuff because we feel like the more you know about the legal education, the less likely you are to break it, break the law. And she kind of put all that stuff together and she's kind of started FLY. Mm. And throughout the years, she added, we have different programs now, but since she started, but that's pretty much like the gist of how it started. And yeah, since then, that's what I've been doing.
Well, you mentioned that earlier on you were in Gilroy, and I asked you what you're doing in Gilroy, because I thought you worked here in San Jose.
Right.
Right, and then it was my understanding that you were doing, like, you were, what it was like a thing where you're talking to kids in school and all that kind of stuff, right? So for FLY, there's a preventative measure for everything that you guys will reach out and talk to kids and try to, you know, kind of steer them straight before they even run into these legal potholes or what?
Yeah, so technically, let me introduce myself. My name is Chris Scott. I'm with the leadership and middle school program manager for FLY. So our only prevention early in our prevention early intervention, like our diversion program in FLY that we have, is our middle school program. All our other programs sort of target youth who are already kind of through the system or super super high risk at being at the system. Our middle school program is what you're talking about. It's super preventative. We try to get them early. I work with 7th-8th graders. We do legal education and we also do one-on-one case management where we link them to services and also talk about certain goals that they might want to do. So that's what I've did was, like, for example, earlier today, we go there to Gilroy and there's every Thursday there's like a topic and we do like a presentation on that topic. So it could be anywhere from engaging with a police officer, knowing about your rights, knowing about the law, property crimes, gang violence, the importance of laws and how they're made. All these different presentations, usually about 10 of them per school site that we go to. And we hope that at the end of those presentations that they know more about the law.
How often do you visit any one particular site in, say, a school year?
It just depends how we set that up with the school. So this year we try to serve, we serve about over 500 students a year. And that's kind of divided per school site. So we're probably at roughly 7 school sites, but we can be in, you know, multiple classes at each school site. So each class, I'll say altogether, all the classes that we have are usually between 20 to 25 classes between the year. And then all the kids that are in those classes. And we usually do once a week.
So are these like continuation schools, things like that, or, you know, schools that have students within special programs that then get to be exposed to the FLY curriculum?
So it could be both. So it could be a public school that is deemed high risk. People usually don't use the word high risk anymore, but I guess that's the best way to explain it. A high risk situation. So it could be an area that maybe the police department or the city has considered a hot spot. A hot spot would be high crime area. So there's, say there's an increase of citations in that area, increase of arrest in that area. That area at that school, it has like a high rate of free and reduced lunch, meaning that there's like a low income portion of that. So economically, that could be a reason, and also could be truancy. You can look at truancy rates in that area for that school district or that zip code. Mm-hmm. And that would be like, hey, this is a school that we might want to do legal education at. So that's one way that we're at those schools.
Like, how did you even fall into your job, man? And I'll wait for you to answer on a mic, but that's what I want to ask you, one of the first things.
It was actually you, Arish.
I'm joking. What the fuck did I do?
So think of a kid back on street going to San Jose State.
There are a lot of people who live in that house, Chris. Right? There are a lot of people
who live many there. Keys out there. I always tell Lisa, I was like, there's like at least 11 keys out there in the world right now. But no, seriously, when we moved over there, I was in my last year at San Jose State. And my major is justice studies. And justice studies, you have all these opportunities to do things around the law, either social justice related or actually, you know, part of, you know, being within the system. Mm-hmm. So either as a police officer, probation officer, FBI, all that stuff. The route that I wanted to take was actually be a police officer. So I applied for San Jose PD Volt program, which is like an internship thing. I still don't even know what we were supposed to do, but it was like you do like a ride along and you're like almost like a cadet or something. So I was waiting for that, but then I was in my last semester at San Jose State and I still needed an internship, and I was in one of my classes, Susie Rivera. She was the professor for we did like a juvenile justice class I had to take. Mm-hmm. And she's like, hey, there's an opportunity to do an internship here at this nonprofit that I also work at. Let me know if you're interested. And I was like, man, San Jose PD hasn't called me back. And I need this. I have one more semester to go. And I did like an observation, wrote a paper on it, what they're doing at their legal education presentations. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, I can do this. And I signed up the next semester and I did an internship, and that's how I got involved, and then I did it for a few, like a year and a half.
Well, you mentioned maximum security. Mm-hmm. Juvenile. So is that what you target in on, or has it spread out to become more encompassing of pretty much any juvenile services or any juvenile in need?
So when she started, again, that was she started it officially in 2000. So when her first time in the hall, that would have been, 1998? That's what she targeted for her internship. The way our organization is now, we have so many different programs, but just to answer the question directly, the program that we work in the hall, we pretty much would hit almost all units in this county. Mm. They open and close these units left and right. There's probably maybe 7 units now. Some of them are maximum security. Some of them are like the mental health unit. Some of those are the girls unit. Some of them are like the transitional unit where you're pretty much going in and out waiting till court. And we're also at another facility at the ranch. There's a ranch here in Santa Clara County, if people don't know, in Morgan Hill. So we do program there. We also do program out in the community, and there's so many different programs that we do, but yeah.
So what controls a unit closing and opening?
That's a loaded question. pretty much just population. So there's a bigger question around juvenile justice. It's meant to be rehabilitative on purpose. So there's different things that the adult system has that the juvenile justice system purposely does not have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, more programs, more support, a little bit more lenient. Also, the facilities at the hall is a little different from what you would see in jail. Of course, there's school that's mandatory when you're in juvenile hall. You have to go to school, where when you're an adult, that's not like a requirement. When you go to jail, like, hey, wake up, Johnny, you got to go to school. Like, you know,
no, wake up, breakfast, eat or not, you know.
Exactly. So all those things, the population throughout the year changes with different policies. You know, 10-year span, there could be like a tough on crime thing where, you know, a county could be arresting young kids for very, very small crimes. There could be a 10-year period where they tend not to arrest young people for, you know, small crimes or bigger crimes or
and
whatever.
These are conscious initiatives within law enforcement or
not law enforcement. Law enforcement, they just do what they got to do, whatever is like the law. A lot of it's from, I would say, from our whole system together. So it could be like a collaboration between probation. It could be a collaboration between city council or the county itself. They could be having like certain initiatives saying like, these are some things we're trying to do. A perfect example of it is actually truancy, right? Mm-hmm. So back in the day, if a kid did not go to school, they actually could get like a ticket or a citation and get like a criminal charge for not going to school for a long period of time. Someone from the district attorney's office, again, not police department, but district attorney's office, they took initiative saying like, there's no point because they're getting fined for this and the family's not going to pay the fine. And then they get in trouble for not paying the fine. And it's creating a bigger problem just for a kid not going to school. So what they literally did is that they said, you really can't get a charge for truancy and your family doesn't get fined for you not going to school. There's some other things that they do instead as like a alternative, but that's like one of the that's like one of the things that they could do to change it, and that's from the district attorney's office.
Okay,
so it's all different places. Probation could do something different. The judges could come together. The juvenile court judges, they can come together and talk about how they're going to change certain things. So there's all different things that they've done over the years. But the police department themselves,
they're just
that's a little different.
They're just kind of the hands that operate everything, but.
Yeah, but they'll send out a report. So, was it Chief Garcia? So,
San Jose Police Chief Eddie Garcia.
Yeah, so he had like a juvenile justice report that was, well, all the people who do like social justice programs, like my organization, we really didn't like because it had like a very very like negative view of the justice system and some of the things that was happening for like the young people and. To keep it shortly, people didn't like what the report was because it highlighted some like crazy statistics that like technically were true, but were kind of skewed from the bigger problem and stuff. So
without being an insider, it was and having that first person perspective, it's kind of like, would you say it was fair that like those reports were kind of the general sensational news story? Like, hey, we don't really know everything, but we got enough to make a story and make a report, and we're gonna put this out and gloss over the main points but not really dive in. And do you think that is why they maybe came out a little bit more negatively affected?
Not really. I don't want to like bash the police department. It's more like from their point of view, what they're seeing is that, hey, a kid does something bad, I take them to the hall, they're out of the hall within a week or two. So in their mind, they feel like nothing's being done. However, we're on the back end of that, so we're the getting done part. So we know what's getting done because we're doing the actual programs and stuff. So I think there's like a false narrative where they feel like, oh, this kid's in a program for a month and then they get in trouble within that same month, that program doesn't work. And these programs take like years to work and to implement and funding and all that stuff. So the police department is, from their point of view, from their limited view, definitely it's probably right. However, that's not the full view of it.
Where's your guys' funding come from?
Our funding from the programs that I have, our fundings can come from private donors, from foundations, and then also from grants. So government grants or grants. Yeah, government grants is like the easiest way to say it.
Can you think of any particular clients or success stories that you had to personally deal with and you were just like, cool, great to see you fly?
Yeah, there's a few. The other part of my program for the middle school program is that we do one-on-one case management. So those are where a lot of the one-on-one success stories, because that's like a richer one-on-one relationship that you have with that young person. There was a kid recently, he was in my middle school program back in the day, and he was just getting, for some reason, he just had these terrible altercations with teachers and stuff. There's like this one story where I'm walking through the campus and he's throwing grapes. Something as small as just throwing grapes on the ground, and a teacher comes by and say, pick it up. And he's like, why do I have to pick that up? And she's like, I saw you. You threw it on the ground. And he's like, other people are throwing it on the ground. And she's like, it doesn't matter. Pick it up. And he's like, I'm not picking that up. And it's something so small. So then he's getting sent to the office, and then he doesn't, you know, he doesn't handle his anger emotions that well. So now he's calling his mom while the principal's trying to talk to him. He's cussing people out, and it's just like a thing. And then I go in there, and he ends up getting referred to my program. His mom ended up moving him to another school, but I started working with him one-on-one. I talked to the mom and stuff. I found out that I found the problem. The mom just like enables the shit out of this kid. Like, this kid has never done anything wrong. His shit smells like roses. Can do nothing wrong. And she's that mom that would go to the school and just rain down like fire.
Man, she better
defend
not
the crap out of her son, which is, again, it's like a cool quality to have, but it's just, it leads to so many unintended consequences. Like we were talking about before, like your kid doesn't feel like he can do anything wrong. So once I found that out, long story long, I worked with him on that. We talked about like, you know, there's some people that piss you off, right? And you know, your mom's not always going to be there to save you. And do you feel like you've done anything wrong? And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, do you feel like you've ever been wrong? Like, any of the situations, you feel like you've actually done anything wrong? And we had to kind of go like that. And it's a lot of it, like, you know, I don't know how you call it, like self-reflective, you know, mm-hmm. just a kind of understanding like, hey, have I done anything wrong in this situation? Or is it the school or the system? And that's a lot good. Of that's just like the trust. It was like, it's like, I do this. I've been doing this for example, I've been doing this for 8 years. At that time, I think it was like 5 or 4 years. So I was like, I've been doing this for 5 years. And I'm telling you, if it was the school part, like, I'm with you 100%. We'll knock down doors. You have to believe me. And he believes me, right? So because we build a relationship.
Yeah.
But like, that being aside, what is something that you can do? From your point of view or from your vantage point where you look in the mirror and where you say, could I have done that a little better?
Dude, that's extremely powerful, man. Yeah. Like, to give these kids, I mean, cause it's all education, right? And I think that adults will forget the fact that you have to craft that pathway to the perspective for kids. So when you give them that internal locus of control, that ability to examine themselves, which is something, you know, as kids, we don't do. We grow up, it's kids, we're self-centered people, right? Because kids are kids, and that's just what's going to be until finally something happens in your life where an adult comes along and says, hey, nobody gives a shit about your BS, so we can just let you drown with all the others, or you can figure out where you can step up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's amazingly powerful. It's a shame that you don't have like a regular class just teaching that to kids.
Yeah. And then the only thing is that a lot of us know it, and a lot of adults, and I love a lot of teachers. It's just that the big part that's always missing is the relationship piece. I could not tell him that on day one or day two or day three. That took like a month because we had to build a relationship. You know, the mom had to not cuss me out. You know, like, she's literally cussed out like principals and assistant principals, and she thought I was the one, and I was like, I'm not the one. Like, and I had to build a relationship with mom, you know, and that took time. But once that happens, now I can give them like, you know, what are some things that you yourself can do better? And then I'll handle the school side. And the only reason he had to think that I would actually handle the school side because we have a relationship. If we didn't have a relationship, he wouldn't believe me. He thought I was just probably bullshitting.
Yeah.
But he saw like I had his back for certain things. And then it's just like a balance back and forth. He ended up doing well. He's still like a little shit, but he's, you know, for the main thing, he's not like cussing out teachers and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing all right. He's actually at Pegasus right now. He's in one of our other programs, but you know, he's doing really well. He's going to school now. I'm trying to get him back into football. And that was all the way in eighth grade, and he's getting kicked out of classes over grapes and shit. Grapes, bro. Like, you can't make this up. Like, grapes. I'm like, why am I here?
Has he been in trouble since? I mean, I know he has kind of his little asshole tendencies, but has he been, like, arrested and put in, or is he?
So in my program, I had him at the end of the year. I would say later that year, his stepdad, who was a piece of shit, passed away. And once he passed away, he did like an F it thing. Mm-hmm. And he kind of went on a rampage with his really bad influence cousin. And they got caught. Like, his cousin took a car, but he was with them, and he got caught up in that. And he got put on general probation. He was in the hall. And then he was on probation. And then he's well done with my program. Again, he did really well in my program. He did well after my program. But this is like maybe a year after he was in my program.
That's a pretty major external influence right there, right? Man.
Dad passed away. I get a call from my mom. Mom's name is I'm not making that up. She hits me up. She's like, hey, Chris. And she's kind of lied. I was like, you're lying right now. Tell me exactly what happened. So she told me, and I was like, oh no, this is a thing. So even though he's not in my program, I followed up with him. I talked to him. He eventually got off probation. And it's really hard to complete probation. There's like a lot of requirements. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to school though. And so I brought him to my high school program. And then he got with one of my case managers, and they consistently made a plan of him going to school. So now, after all that crap, you know, he's going to school right now on his own. You know, we're about to get his license later this month. He's about to get a job. But like, there's so many things that happen in his life that I wish I had control over abundant many things. But, you know, we don't have control for that long.
All right, so what side of town do you work on now? Because it sounds like you have a pretty good territory, kind of, but where are most of your programs kind of headed in general, and then just kind of what's your day-to-day look like? It's a couple of questions in one, right?
So where do I work at now, or mostly? So it's a little differently. So I oversee two programs. One is like our high school leadership program. Other one's our middle school program. Our middle school program, since we also do like a facilitation piece where we're doing legal education, the majority of a lot of our schools are on East Side San Jose.
Okay.
So a lot of the young people that's in our leadership program, our high school leadership program, they're kind of like a mix all over the county. We have a handful in Mountain View right now. We have a handful in Gilroy, but the majority of them is in San Jose, and they're scattered all over San Jose. I'll say they're mostly also East Side San Jose as well, if not a little bit of downtown. That's kind of like the most concentrated area of a lot of our young people are at. And then our middle school program for one-on-one case management, they're mostly all San Jose as well.
Okay. Right on. So where's your office at?
Our office is based out of Milpitas. However, we also we're in three different counties. So our main county is here in Santa Clara County, but we're also in San Mateo County and Alameda County. So we have an office in Redwood City, San Mateo County, and then Oakland in Alameda County. And then Oakland's a little bit newer. It's probably been established for the last 4 years. San Mateo, it's probably been around since 2010, 2009.
So when it comes to one-on-one case management, are you going on site to see anybody who needs a little bit more, I guess you would call them a little bit more high risk or special needs in that weird way, right? But so are you going on site, or are they coming to you?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. So for our middle school program and our leadership program, we can go to their school. For our high school program, because high schoolers, they do high school shit. Like, they do stuff all outside of the school. So we'll meet them outside in the community. Pretty much, we set up a schedule with them, and we tell them what's the best time that works for you. Mm-hmm. If we know somebody who's like, they're missing in action after school, like you don't know where they're at, most likely our case managers will meet them at the school, because we know exactly where they'll be at. But if there's like someone who's a little bit more responsible, we'll make plans to meet with them after school, because they're less likely to flake.
Oh, so your organization is pretty agile and adaptive.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The case managers, they go all around town, and you know, we usually go out and feed them. We also have events with our big cohort. So Those are usually monthly. The leadership program is like 10 month long. My middle school 101 case management program is about 6 month long, and that's year round.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So if somebody wanted to, I guess, get in touch with you guys and either talk about funding or about bringing their program to their school or their institution, mm-hmm. what are the best channels for somebody to reach out to you guys?
So always go onto our website, flyprogram.org. That's always a really good way. In this county, however, we pretty much saturated crap out of everything. That it would be like, if you don't know about us, you don't know about us. You know, it's one of those things. Because we pretty much, we're in all these different meetings. So I'm a manager and we go to all these different challenge team meetings or game prevention meetings where you have all these different people, probation, teachers, schools, counselors. They come together, other CBOs. CBOs is community-based organizations. And they all come together in these really big meetings and they talk about like the climate of what the county's at mm. on the youth level. So where are we seeing like high crime at? Where are we seeing support needed? Where are we seeing where we need outreach? Where are families being influenced? And they have these monthly for all cities. So I go to like a Sunnyvale one. I also go to a San Jose one. There's one for South County, which we call Morgan Hill and Gilroy combined. So they have all these different meetings and you kind of go and kind of get like the climate of it, and that's where we do a lot of networking, right? So mm-hmm. people know about your name and stuff like that. So they'll say, hey, you should go to this one middle school, you should go to this one high school. And that's how we get connected. And my middle school program is a little bit more flexible. So I just show up to the school and be like, yo, my name's Chris from Fly. I heard you need some support. You know, not like exactly like that, but it's kind of like that. We do a cold call, or we might get like, there's this one probation officer who's on it and he'll do like a warm handoff. He's like, man, we keep getting like a bunch of calls for this school. And we really think that they need some intervention services or preventative services. So can you come out there and see if they have some referrals for you? So we get that a lot. I mean, we actually got that the last 2 years. So to answer your first question earlier, where do you see things going?
Yeah.
A lot of things, a lot of grants and a lot of things are going through the prevention early intervention route. Through probation. Probation is looking for, they have all these different funding streams that they sometimes have. And they try to, you know, send grants to CBOs for preventative services. And they're looking at that a lot more than I would say 5 or 10 years ago.
Okay. Oh, right on, man.
So Santa Clara County is ahead of the game. They're probably the most progressive county in the nation, if not, or California, if not the whole nation, because they have all these services and they're a little bit more lenient. The other counties,
Can you some work? Can you some work? I'm happy to hear you guys are in Oakland because, and you know, with my experience and working in bail and all that kind of stuff, I've noticed a trend where my clients are getting younger and younger. And that part is kind of hard to deal with on sometimes. You know, I've come across people where they call me and I look at their charges and I go, how old are you? You just turned 18 and your life is already over. You know, they still have hope. They're like, oh, I can call this guy and get out of jail. But I know what's down the pipeline for them. And there are a couple of them, man. And just like, geez, kid, like what went wrong? Where could we have altered something or shifted your course? I mean, we're on Earth 32. Where could we have gone the other direction where you end up, you know, at least getting a 9-to-5 and having a family and a house, you know, or maybe you'd become a CEO or something like that. But so I really, really dig the preventative measure. And I'm happy you guys are in Alameda County to some degree, you know?
Yeah. So just because we're in the county doesn't mean that we have the flexibility or like the access that Santa Clara County gives us. So I'll say the biggest thing about Santa Clara County, they give us access. We can go to the hall whenever we want. We can go to meet with probation. Probation's going to call us back. We can set up all these programs. All the other counties, every county has their reputation, right? For good or for bad, they have a reputation. And some counties are just a little bit harder to deal with, right? So kind of what we talked about before, where we're talking about like how do these initiatives go? Mm-hmm. It's usually county by county, if not city by city, where they can give you a lot of access or they can like kind of shut you out because they say it's like my way or the highway. So Oakland, in that area, you're going to see a lot of younger kids getting charged for smaller crimes. Not like San Jose's, their kids not doing those crimes. They're just not going to get charged for something that's for something like that if they're like 12 or 13 or younger. It's just they're less likely to get those things here in this county.
Well, when you speak about access, you mean access to kind of case files, or would you say access to individual institutions?
So the access to case files, that's by their parents. So we always get waivers. So if it's something to do about the kid, as long as we have our waivers and everything's checked and the parents signed it, we can have access to some of those things. So like school records, we're like in the meetings with the public defender, so they can. They're not going to give us the file, of course, but for us to even be in there, because juvenile court is private. Mm-hmm. No one can just. No one from the community can go in there. Like the adult court, you can go in there and just, you know, sit in there. Don't chew gum. But don't chew gum, because some bailiffs are pretty mad about that. You know, personal experience. But you can go there if you want. You have like an afternoon to kill or like a morning to kill. Like go there.
Figurative version of just popping a bag of Lay's and seeing what goes on. You know,
exactly. But this county, that's the access. The access I'm talking about is that we're able to go to court with them. We're able to go to all these schools. We're able to be in these meetings and stuff. The other counties, I'm not saying they don't have it. It's just not as frequent, or there's not as many open doors as it is in this county, in Santa Clara County.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. When you talk to people and you realize that as much shit as people talk about the legal system, the justice system, law enforcement, community involvement, you find out that mostly people just don't know anything. You know, you find out that the level of education, it's really not there.
Preach, man. That's crazy. A lot of this stuff is just like kind of, not like, I wouldn't go as far as say ignorance. It's just that people just, they don't know, which is fine. You don't have to know everything, but in the same breath, don't act like you do know, because that's the stuff that makes me mad, because people really feel like, you know, deterrence. Like, I went to school for this. There's statistically, we know deterrences just don't work, especially with younger people. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense in kids' minds. Like, oh, this is a big punishment, so you better not do it again. What? Like, so you're right. People just don't know sometimes.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that hopefully that can change a little bit. And I think that's kind of a long-range vision of what this podcast might help people to bring is getting the idea of legal education on the mainstream. You know, we get math, we get science, we get civics. Mm-hmm. Right? And civics is just like, hey, what are the three branches of government? Call it a day. Right? So, but if you're living... but you're living in these areas, man. Like, we're living in these areas, we're living in these communities, and you got to know, besides how much is it going to cost you to buy a burger, mm-hmm. like, know what every place is like. Because like you said, every county mm-hmm. is different. Like, I know for a fact I can go to San Francisco and fuck around and I'll be fine. Mm-hmm. But I can't go to, like, Palo Alto and make noise.
Exactly. I'll say more East Palo Alto, because East Palo Alto is in San Mateo County and Palo Alto is in Santa Clara County, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
They're divided by a highway, which is hilarious. Or a river.
Shout out to East Palo Alto, all the family out there, you know? Oh, man.
It's crazy, man.
It's different.
But I'll say, like, to answer your other question earlier, the next thing for me, something that I'm personally interested in is, like, education, mm-hmm. the education system and just the reformatting of certain things. I've seen some awesome work from some principals and some other teachers and educators. It's just that there's so many schools that are just so bad. And there's just, like, a couple that do it really well, and you know, I wish that model is spread across the masses, but we just don't have the power to do it yet. But we're trying to get really creative around that, because, man, some of these schools are really good, but then there's so many that are so bad. Set up kids for failure, for real.
I think it's about time that we make another, like, another Hollywood era of, like, Dangerous Minds and The Principal. Like, that has to come around every, like, 20 years. God. It's been long enough, man, you know.
Oh, man.
Let's see some inner city challenge kids doing better. Like,
yeah, you just need like you can have a whole podcast on this. You just have principals lined up and they'll just tell you. Like, some of this stuff is like criminal that some school districts do, and it's hilarious. That's like another podcast, and I can tell you some stories. It's just so crazy what, like,
don't give me people ideas.
Get away with in schools. a lot of these things go hand in hand. There's like a theory out there. It's not even a theory. It's like a fact. The school to prison pipeline, saying that kids going through the school system and being pushed out through suspension and stuff, it leads them to have a huge risk of going to the justice system, right? And, you know, T. Tia Martinez, she does like this huge study on this, and it's like a years of research and stuff. And we've gone to some schools or principal district or someone in front of a district. She's like, nope. Not real. Don't believe it. And you're just like, what? There's just all this evidence. And they've taken it from kids who were pre-K going through their families and generations and all these studies and stuff. They're like, nope, I don't believe it. You know,
that is criminal, man.
It's just on them. They got suspended, so they have to do, you know, like, get out of here. Wow. So I can go home and play Fortnite, and then I'm supposed to be better when I come back to school. Like, that's your punishment? Like, God, come on.
Yeah, and I don't remember what the measure was. People were pretty heated about that whole thing, you know, the idea of not suspending kids, because a lot of it, you know, is that the prevailing theory is that it starts in the home, right? But, you know, I've got a buddy where his home structure was perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, mom and dad worked hard, very loving, very doting, got the typical, you know, older brother kicks your ass every now and then, and super smart guy. But school was just not for him. And he got in trouble with school a lot because he didn't vibe with the structure and the authority. And realistically, I think he probably would have been one of these people who ended up with a lot of run-ins, much more than he had, with the legal system if it weren't for the fact that he spent those formative years like pretty high off of his mind and just not as productive, you know, for productive in quotation marks.
I see it all the time. I have some kids where I'm just like, this is going to be hard for you, but I guarantee you, you'll probably thrive in college. Like, I was one of those people, because high school is so rigid and you have to, it's super structured, and I don't really work off of that. But college, like, I can go in there with some slide-ons and some shorts and a hoodie, and I could be there and not be there. It's not a big deal, and I just had to do it. I remember, like, you're studying sometimes, and you know, sipping some wine while you're doing stuff. And
work was done with a bottle of plum wine and some, like, some music just bumping away.
Same being here. Drunk. You introduced me to plum wine. I read all my philosophy books. Like, I went to a class maybe 4 or 5 times a year, still got a B, you know, because it worked for me. And some of these kids, they don't realize that. I'll talk about this for all day if we talk about the suspensions and the school system. I'm telling you, that's a whole nother podcast.
We might need to do another episode about that.
Yeah, because I have, there's so many things I can talk about, you know, principals leaving certain school districts because they know that, you know, they're setting kids up for failure, and they're going to other school districts. And then you see on the news, it's like, why are all the good teachers leaving? Why are the good administrators leaving? Because, you know, you want to look at the school district, like, what are the things and policies that they're implementing?
You know,
so that's a whole nother thing, but
I think
it'll be a good one.
I think we should do another episode about that. Like, I mean, so here's the thing. I can marathon. I'm always good just chilling. I'm in a chair. I'm halfway drunk. I got a microphone in my hand. I haven't moved this left hand in a while. Like, I can marathon that and do that episode. But it's about 5:30 now. I don't know, like, your lady needs to expect you home. Genevieve will be home soon. The first thing she's going to do is come to that door. Daddy! Frozen 2! Like, okay, well.
Oh, that's super sweet. That's a good sound, though.
Bro, you know what? Like, it's funny. It's come full circle.
Oh.
Because when I was a kid, I used to do this thing where my dad would come to the front door, and me and my brother would, like, rush in. Fucking just run into him and give him a hug, right? Mm-hmm. And now Genevieve does the same exact thing to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, damn, bro, that's what it's all about. And I come to the door, and she goes, Daddy! And she charges me, wraps her arms around my leg, and gives me a big hug. And I'm just like, oh, this is why my dad put up with all of our bullshit. Mm-hmm. You know, to the point where he brought home a brand new barbecue set, and the first thing I do is take a skewer and pretend I'm a fucking musketeer and do one of these special turnarounds and stab him in the foot. And all he does is go, son, go ahead and put that down. That's all he did. Mm-hmm. That's all he did. Now, also, you know, the other part of it is that I realized as an adult that my dad spent my entire childhood stoned out of his mind.
Okay. It's a twist.
Like, we always just thought my dad was just super cool. And he is just a super cool guy. But at the same time, the dude was just baked. The whole time. Like, why wouldn't you be with 4 kids?
Right? Something has to happen.
Like, huh, I can never get my dad's cologne quite right. He turned 16, 17, smoked some weed. Like, oh, that's what that is.
Well, even hearing that story, that's actually part of one of the studies, is like, it gives you hope when you have two adult parents, right? It doesn't even matter the gender or whatever. You have two parents in a household that's loving their kids from when they're babies all the way through high school and supporting them. Like, people don't understand how huge, like, they, the success rates go up and how much their kid will thrive.
Yeah.
You know, so when you talk about these single parent households, what I interact with all the time, all these single moms out here that I see professionally, you know, like, the chances just go down. Not like the kid's not going to succeed, but man, it's an uphill battle. So hearing you, like, you know, where your daughter's like saying, "Daddy," like, that's like huge. That's that's part of the study, right? That's part of the, like, you know, some people don't have someone to go home to and there's another parent and they're excited about, right?
Yeah.
So that's part of it, you know, and their chances of succeeding goes up.
That's why mom and dad will stick together.
Right.
Plus, I really, really like my wife. So there's that side.
Man, I already called out January. You're calling out wife. Man. Edit the crap out of this.
Oh, you know what? There are times when I've just been stuck, and I'm like, I have no choice but to throw in a bleep.
And right.
Beep. Like, all right. Well, that's what I did.
Exactly.
This episode of Detained is a production of Champloo Media. All episodes recorded, edited, and produced by me, Arish Rivers. Friendly reminder, you can find past and upcoming episodes at anchor.fm/detained. Feel free to follow along and keep in touch at facebook.com/detainedpodcast. As always, thanks for listening. Champloo Media.